my name, what shall I do? And then they want to say, it sounds like Jesus. And calling my name, what shall I do? Anybody here be glad when Jesus call your name? Huh? We ought to be happy right now, but he's already calling your name. Amen, amen. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you, that's the type of church I'm used to now. I mean, unless you want to see me, don't do it. Amen, amen, amen. Let us bow our heads. Our Father God, we come to you this morning and say thank you, Master, for your presence. Thank you for allowing us to be here, for allowing us to get up this morning and find ourselves in our right mind. And Lord God, we have the use and activity of all of our limbs. And Master, we find ourselves in your grace and in your love. So we come this morning to say thank you. Thank you, Master, and why we are here. We come to this place because it is a hospital for the sin sick. And we all have shortcomings. We all have things that we need to work on. While we are here, give us some medicine. And give us something that will make us better for your kingdom. We ask now these blessings in your Son Jesus Christ's holy name. We pray that every heart say amen. Amen. We now have our opening hymn, hymn 400.
Yeah.
Amen, amen. Give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. Let us bow our heads for a word of prayer. Master, we come to you this morning, Master, with thanksgiving in our hearts, Master, and praise on our lips, because you've been such a good God to us. As the children has just expressed in their song, you are good, and you are worthy to be praised. And we realize that, Master, because when we look back over our lives, we realize there are so many things that we are able, or shall I say, we're able to come through because of you. So we want to say thank you. And Master, we come now asking that as we live in this time where the spirit of confusion has been released, where there are so many false truths that have been put out in the atmosphere, where there are so many things that are not right but look right. There are so many things that are part of political propaganda. There are so many things, Master, that it looks like it belongs to you, but we find that it is not of you. We come now asking that while we are going through this, that you allow us to place on our heads the helmet of salvation, and that we're able to cover our hearts with the breastplate of righteousness. For surely we are enduring in a time, Master, where man look to confuse us in order that he can separate us. But we pray, Master, that we're able to stand on your word no matter what comes before us and believe in you. Because you said, Master, that if we try the Spirit by the Spirit, we will find the truth. Let us be connected to you, because if we are connected to you, nothing can confuse us, nothing can fool us, for you will always show us the truth. We ask now these blessings in your Son Jesus Christ's holy name. We do now pray. Let our hearts say amen. Amen. We ask now that the officers will come for the purpose of tithing and offering. Master, we come to you now to say thank you for all the gifts that have been given here today. We thank you now, Master, for those who gave from their heart. And Master, we know that you asked for us to give a tenth of all that we receive. And we pray, Master, that we've done just as you asked of us. And Master, we pray that you bless us because of it and use it, Master, to build your kingdom. We ask now these blessings in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we pray. Amen.
It's not my
yourself. And I'm not just talking about a part of yourself, but give all of yourself to God. Wait. Calm the music down for me just a second. Bring the music down for me just a second. I just asked a question. Now, I asked a question that all Christians should have responded to. Because the Bible said, let the redeemer of the Lord say so. I asked the question, is there anybody in the house today want to give all of themselves to? I'm not going to pump and prime you. I'm not going to. Because God said, those who are his know the sound of his voice. Amen. 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 Let us bow. Father God, we come now asking that you speak to your people, that you give them something to hold on to throughout the week. For we know that the enemy is very busy. He's already waiting. He's already stationed himself. He's already prepared himself for every attack that he's going to portray in our lives. So we ask now that you give us some bread, give us some food, give us some strength. And then give us, Lord God, the weapons that we need that are spiritual to fight in this fight so that we can stand as you asked of us, strong and mighty through the word of Jesus. We ask now these blessings in your son Jesus Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. 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 If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to John chapter 19. John chapter 19, verses 25 through 27. We are on part four of our six-part series of the final statements of Jesus. And if I were to give this a title, I would title it, Words and Actions of Love. Words and Actions of Love. Of John 19, 25 through 27 reads, now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple who he loved standing by, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. Amen. Amen. Once again, if you don't get anything out of this message, please get this. He did it for you personally. Amen. That would be my proposition throughout this teaching that we are doing. He did it for you personally. So you can always take your name and place your name in with everything, with anything that we're talking about, because he did it for you specifically. Amen. And now here in this text, we see several things. One of the things we see is the love of a mother, the love of family, the love of friends, the love of a son, and the love of a savior. In this text, we see three of the four types of love that's mentioned in the Bible. We see storge, or storge, depending on who's speaking, philia, and also agape. So we see three of the four types of love. And in this particular text, storge is very important. Jesus said that storge is one of the things that should link us together. Especially when you're talking about family. And when you look at how family is structured, we should have an affectionate bond for each other. We should have affectionate love for one another. For storge is that type of love that develops from nature between parents and their children. Amen. It's that love that a mother has for her children. The father has for his children. And the love that's reciprocated from their children to them. In this text, we see that Mary shows how much she loves Jesus. And for she risked it all just so she can be at the foot of the cross. She risked her very life so she can stand at the foot of the cross so her son could find some comfort, knowing that he's not dying alone. His mother was willing to die just so she can offer her son some comfort. Lord have mercy, when I read that hit home with me, because I know how much my mother loves me. And I know how much I love my mother. There's nothing in this world that I won't do for my mother. Amen. And I know that you all feel the same way. Many of us love our parents so much, we will go across the country at nighttime just to get to them. Huh? We love our parents enough to do whatever it is they need for us to do for them. But here we find a mother who realized that her son needed to be comforted. And she was willing to put her life on the line just so she could be standing by him, and perhaps if they allow her to, could reach out and touch him. Because during this time, the Romans didn't allow people who were being crucified to be touched by those who were in the crowd. But Mary wanted to get to her son so she can touch him, so he can feel the comfort of her love. There's nothing like a mother. She refused to allow him to die by himself. She refused to allow him to suffer by himself. She refused to allow him to go through the pain by himself. She had to be there with him so she can give him some comfort. Family, I come to tell you today, we ought to be like that about each other. Especially when you're talking about believers in Christ Jesus, we ought to love one another, honor one another, keep each other in high esteem, be there for each other. Not to be against each other, but be there for one another. The world has a hard time with the church right now because we are so at odds with each other. When God needs for us to be as a family that love one another, who's willing to lay our lives down for each other. God looks for us to be better than we are. Here in this text, we see the strong love of the mother, but then we see her son reciprocate the love. He shows her respect. He shows her honor, for he wanted to make sure that she is taken care of. When we look at this text, we find that Jesus' brothers and sisters did not show up because they didn't believe that he was the Messiah. They thought their older brother had some problems. Perhaps they thought maybe he had some mental problems or some type of shortcoming that made him believe that he was the Messiah, but he was not the Messiah, which means they did not believe in their mother as well. Because if they didn't believe he was the Messiah, then they didn't believe that his mother gave a virgin birth, which means they didn't believe their mother was telling the truth. At the time Jesus was hanging on the cross, the people who should have been there for him did not show up. None of his brothers, none of his sisters were at the cross. The Bible tells us that it was just his mother's sister, Mary Magdalene, and John, the disciple. But his brothers and sisters, who he slept with and ate with every day, didn't show up for him. They were skeptical of who he was. They didn't believe that he was this Messiah that he spoke of. So when Jesus looked at his mother,
He said, Mother, I'm going to give you the love that you gave me. I'm going to give you someone who will love you like I love you. He looked down and he looked at John and he looked at his mother and he said, Woman, behold thy son. And then he looked at John and said, Behold thy mother. The greatest thing you can ever do for your parents. Listen here, children. And grown children. The greatest thing that you can ever do for your parents is make sure they're taken care of. The Bible says, Honor thy mother and thy father, that their days may be long on this earth. If you want to honor your mother and your father, make sure they're taken care of. Amen. That's a man who's going to make sure his mama taken care of. Jesus said, I'm going to love you enough. I'm going to give you to someone who does not think that you're lying. I'm going to give you someone who's going to treat you with the love and respect that I have for you. See, because Mary was more than just a common woman. According to the Greeks, she was considered to be the God bearer, the God carrier, the one who gave life to God here on earth. And Jesus said, I need for you to be treated as such. I need for you to be taken care of as such. I don't need for you to be in a household where your own children don't believe who you are. So he reciprocates the love that his mother showed him by showing up, by making sure she is taken care of. The Bible says from that point on, John took her into his own house. He didn't question Jesus. He took her into his own house as his mother. What a beautiful thing. Any of us in here today have women who are in our lives that are not our biological mother, but we consider them to be our mother. And we treat them like they are our mothers. I know I have a few. It's because it's the love that God intends for us to have for each other. Sometimes family love is not enough. And the old saying is, you can't choose your family. But you can certainly choose your friends. Amen. God intends for us to love each other so much that we ought to care for one another. Amen. Sons and daughters, you ought to care for your parents and make sure they're taken care of. If you want to do what God has asked of you, make sure you look after your parents. I know some of us get tired of our parents. I hit a nerve there because some of y'all laugh. But they're there for a reason. They cared for you. They're the stewards of you. You're their gift. It's not the other way around where they are your gift. You are their gift. God says you ought to love them as such. They've sacrificed for you. They went without for you. They took less for you. Mm-hmm. And I know sometimes my mother didn't eat. It was 9 of us. And she cooked the meal. And sometimes she didn't eat. You know why? Because some of us were greedy. We ate all the food that was there, including myself. I'm still greedy. My wife will tell you, boy, you eat a lot. They made sacrifices for you, so you ought to love them, respect them, and honor them. Jesus is teaching us from the cross how we ought to respectfully love each other. Care for your parents. Treat them the way they ought to be treated. And then we see philia, which is brotherly love. It is intimate and personal. It's a bond between two individuals, which also encompasses how we care and how we feel about those who are in need. Jesus said, now this one is the identifier of who are true believers. You know, people have all kinds of things they say that you can look and tell who's a Christian or not. I say, no, watch them and see how they love people. If they got their picks and chooses, that's a problem. Because the Bible then said that we're like the Pharisees, because the Pharisees only love those who love them. Jesus says that we ought to love all men, even those who we consider to be less than ourselves. You know, we have a problem sometimes. We look down our nose at folks because they don't have what we have. Because they're from the same size of the tracks that we're from. But if you look back at our history, all of us are some from the other side of the track. None of our families came over here with money. We were brought over here as slaves, lived in huts, fought for food. That's why you now have chitlins and all that stuff, because all we could eat was scraps. Now they're considered to be delicacies. So none of us are better than the other. No one can look down their nose at the other person. We ought to love each other equally. Okay, how much money you got? You ain't no better than the next person. Jesus said that we ought to love each other so that we care about each other. He says that we ought to be willing to lay our lives down for each other. And we see that here in Mary Magdalene and John and in Cleophas' wife Mary. Now here's the thing with the three of them. John and Mary Magdalene were ready to lay their life down for Jesus. But Cleophas' wife Mary was ready to lay her life down for Mary. She didn't come to die, or perhaps maybe die for Jesus. She came to perhaps die for Mary. When we look at the scriptures, we find that they found themselves in a situation, because when Jesus was a young boy, Joseph passed away, which means that Mary didn't have any rights, and neither did her children, because they didn't have a covering. So Cleophas took them into his house in order so they can now be still yet a family and have a covering and won't be sold off into slavery. Cleophas was Joseph's youngest brother. He took on his brother's family to make sure they stayed as a family. So Cleophas became Jesus' foster parent. And Mary, his wife, built a strong bond with Mary, his sister-in-law. So Mary fell in love and built a bond with Mary. So she was coming to make sure Mary didn't by herself had to stand and watch her son be tormented, humiliated, and murdered. What an awesome friend. She was willing to die so her friend wouldn't be there by herself watching her son be murdered. How many of us in here love some of our friends that way? You ought to have at least one friend that you're willing to die for. If you don't have one friend and you're willing to die for, then I will have to ask you, what are you doing in your life? What's your purpose? What's your aim? What's your goal? If you don't have one friend that you're willing to die for, I must ask you the question, are you living or are you just existing? This woman was willing to lay her life down just so her friend wouldn't be standing at the cross by herself. I don't have a whole lot of friends I'm willing to die for, but I do have one. And he knows it. And I know he'll put his life down for me. He's already shown himself willing to do it. We ought to have at least one friend that we're willing to die for. Jesus said this, I'm sorry. Proverbs says this in 18:24. It says, for a man to have friends, he must what? Show himself friendly. And then it says that there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That friend is Jesus. Jesus will always be there for us. He'll always be that friend who loves us and cares for us. He'll always be that friend that respects us. He'll always be that friend who laid his life down for us. And then the third love that we see is agape. Agape is perfect love. It is divine love from God. It's the highest form of love. It is pure, it's unconditional, and sacrificial. Which means it's willing to do everything to make your life better. Lord have mercy. And this love is the greatest love that we can find. Jesus displayed this love even when he called his mother woman. Some theologians argue that there may have been tension between Jesus and Mary, but we find when we search the scripture that Jesus never called his mother mother. Anytime he ever referred to her, he called her woman. See, in this time, culturally, he was giving her respect and honor. It was an honor to be called woman because it showed that you were someone who God had his hands on. All right. So when he called his mother woman, he was not being disrespectful. He was actually giving her honor and being respectful and showing her how much he loved her. And the second thing he was doing was showing that he is more than just her son. He was showing that he is the Lord and Savior. Mm-hmm. Yes, you did give me birth, but I am your creator. He was showing her the love that a God would show unto his creation. He was showing her love that no one else could show her because it is godly love. He was respectful. His love was pure, his love was unconditional, and his love was sacrificial. Jesus, being true to who he is, not only showed Mary love, or shall I say agape love, but he showed agape love to all the followers who were so afraid that they stood off from a distance and watched him be humiliated and die. He showed agape love to all the religious leaders who pressured Rome to have him killed. He showed love to his enemies who mocked him and spat on him. He showed love to the Roman soldiers who beat him and whipped him all night long. He was showing love to the soldiers who gambled for his clothes. He showed love to the Jews who sang on that Sunday, Hosanna, Hosanna. And then on Friday said, give us Barabbas and crucify him. He shows love to those of us who spit on him and mock him because we do things that we know we ought not to be doing, but we still yet do it. He shows love to all of those of us who he's asked to do things personally and we have yet to do it. He showed love to all of us who refuses to do as he's asked of us. But yet and still, he still loves us. He died for each and every last one of us personally because he loves us. Give God a hand clap of praise. Jesus loved us so that he laid his life down. And then in the process, showed us how we ought to love each other. The Bible says that God himself is love. If you can't show love, then you're not a Christian. Did you hear what I just said? Care not about you speaking in tongues. Care not about you laying on hands. Can about you having a gift to speak, preach, or whatever. If you cannot show love, then you're not who God had asked you to be. Because his type of love is showing love to even those who hate you and despise you and misuse you. So in this season that we are in, where we're going to celebrate his resurrection, celebrate him by showing love to all. You hear what I said? Not to some, but show love to all of your fellow man. Amen. The doors of the church are now open. If there will be one, the time is now. Master, we come to you, Master, to say thank you for this day. Thank you for every opportunity that we have to share with you. Thank you for every time that we can sit before you and receive from you. And we pray, Master, that as we prepare to leave this place, that your mercies and your grace will go with us. Be with us, for we know that the enemy is waiting on us. Strengthen us. So we can stand in power until we can return to this place where you have chosen to place your name. It's in your Son Jesus Christ's holy name we do now pray. And let every heart sing. Amen.